Mailbag Monday.
God.
And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
It's just amazing.
It just gets better every time.
It is pretty
Four
good.
Four angels just sang to you. So enjoy that. Take it in. So it's another Mailbag Monday for you guys. Coming in hot. So we're going to continue our question we asked last time for our last episode. If you could go back and watch any movie on its premiere night, go back in time and erase the movie from your mind, what movie would you want to go back and see? Well,
erase it from your mind and then see it again for the first time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's not just about erasing it from your mind. It's about being with the cast, like, you know, a premiere night, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about, like, going to see a movie, like, as we do, you know, going to...
Okay, yeah, just, like...
Wait, you mean... Are you thinking we're going to see, like, meet the cast as you go in?
Reread the question.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just going to see it on the opening night again.
Opening night, yeah.
Okay.
You thought you were going to the premiere?
I thought I was going to the premiere. I thought I was hanging out with Mark Hamill.
And if you want to run with that, let's do it.
Actually, that changes my answer.
Mm-hmm. Probably same.
I mean, just to see what kind of tail I can pull.
After the animal. Yeah.
Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
he's an easy get.
So I've already blurted out my answer. Star Wars. I would, you know, would want to repeat that experience, you know, for the first time. You know, that's the cool thing about having a kid is that you know, I can go back and watch those movies with him now. And it's just brand new, so it'll be kind of like experiencing that for the first time. So there's that. But yeah, I would want to go back 1977 and just experience, because that was a cultural moment. That wasn't even just a movie premiere. That wasn't even like an opening night.
What movie?
The original.
Star Wars?
Okay, yeah, you have to name it.
Yeah. So episode 4, retroactively, but yeah. But I would love to go back also and see Empire Strikes Back and get that twist, you know,
the
theater. Yeah.
Can you imagine how confused people would be if the movie came out and it was called Episode 4, A New Hope?
Yeah.
It's like, well, what the fuck?
I mean, I think that was his original intention because it's based on the serial matinees of the 30s where it's like people would go and watch like The Shadow or The Saint or whatever or The Phantom, and it would be like serials like an hour each, and you have to come back next week to see what happens. It ends on a cliffhanger. And so his idea...
Find out next week on
you know,
with the Shadow.
With the, you know, the girlfriend's...
Well done.
Old-timey, yeah.
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 It's that transatlantic accent.
But it's like, you know, the hero's girlfriend's tied to the railroad tracks. You got to come back to see what happens. That was his idea. Start the story midway through.
Yeah.
You know, to where it's like imagining, like, you and the audience are coming into the story that's already been in several episodes. And you have to catch up. So... yeah, that would have been confusing, but I think once you explain it, it would make sense.
George Lucas is a big history buff, and Travis and I have been rewatching Rome on HBO, and it's really kind of reminded me of what the Emperor does at the beginning of Star Wars A New Hope. Is like the first thing he does is the Emperor kind of like dissolves the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
Is like the Senate has formally been dissolved.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's like Hitler, yeah.
Well, it's just like what... Caesar did, Julius Caesar, when he took over Rome, is it like the first thing he did was like kind of dissolved the Senate and turned it into like a sort of a mock, like not a real, like a puppet government.
Yeah. This is way off base, but since you mentioned Rome, the guy that played Julius Caesar was my first choice to play Dr. Octopus before Alfred Molina.
Interesting. Yeah. I can see
that
it.
Was my boy.
Yeah.
I can't fucking remember his name, but that's not what this podcast is about.
No, that's very interesting.
So, Sean?
Oh, gosh. I think it has to be Memento. Oh, going back and seeing a movie for the first time and, like, blowing my mind. Because, like, the second time you see it, Memento, you're like, okay, I know what's going to happen. I know, like, I appreciate it more, but my mind's not going to be blown.
Yeah.
The first time seeing Memento, you're just like, oh, whoa.
Taylor, I think you told me about Memento, and I think we watched it. I don't know if we watched it in theaters.
We went to the theaters, but it might have been like a dollar theater.
I think
it
was like might have heard something about it, and then
I just remember heard like, oh, it's just out of whack movie, not in place. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. We'll go. I mean, I'll pay a dollar to go see it, and yeah, we liked it.
I was telling somebody about our current season of Cinema Vino, talking about time travel movies, and they were like, oh, what about Memento? And I was like, well,
yeah.
Not really time travel. Yeah. It's just sort of told non-chronologically.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the movie itself travels through time, but not the plot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is semantics, I guess. I mean,
it's not. I mean, there's a very big difference. But, you know, it's just one of those movies that seeing it for the first time is very different from seeing it the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I always thought since Christopher Nolan went on to do Batman movies that I'm like, Batman villains have kind of gotten stale after a while. And I'm like, oh my God, can we insert Memento into the Nolanverse?
Oh yes.
Could like the villain's name be Memento basically. And then he does crimes, but then forgets them or kidnaps people or does whatever, but he doesn't remember. So he can't tell
pass a polygraph.
Yeah. I feel like he would be an interesting Batman villain.
Yeah.
Because Nolan did the other, Batman films.
Copyright that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trav, what was yours?
Taylor, I'll take this.
He said your name.
He said your name.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, but I'm about to say your answer as well.
I don't think you will.
All right. Well, here we go. Return of the King.
Oh, so, actually, no, but goddamn good choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Tay and I roomed together at college, and he hadn't watched Lord of the Rings. And honestly, I saw Fellowship of the Rings. I didn't really give a huge shit about it until they released the extended edition. And then I watched the Fellowship and I'm like, oh, this is better. It makes a little bit more sense. And he and I went and watched the Two Towers together. I was like, oh, this movie is awesome. That's my favorite of the three is Two Towers. So whenever Return of the King was coming around, Taylor was like, oh shit, I'm down for this. I'll go see that. We went and saw it midnight, opening night, and like with the rest of the crowd, like everybody was hyped during certain scenes. And I remember I was like, the first time anybody ever actually like cheered and clapped in a movie theater when I was around was Return of the King. I mean, they might have in Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I don't quite remember, but I remember for certain.
You're talking about 2002
Return of the King.
I do remember there was some clapping and yelling in Dogma when Jay and Silent Bob jumped out. And like if you remember, I remember in the theater, people like cheered to see Jay and Silent Bob like snooch to the nooch, and then everyone started clapping. I'm like, what am I doing? This is just a stoner movie. People are clapping.
That didn't give as much as a mark as when Return of the King. Whenever they were like, Gondor calls for aid after the beacons of Minas Tirith are lit, and then as soon as Theoden's like muster the Rohirrim, everybody was like. I was like, what the fuck?
Can I guess what the biggest cheer moment was of that movie?
Oh, that was it. I just said it.
That was it? Not the, I am no man, and then she stabs him in the face?
No, it was a muster of the Rohirrim. Yeah.
I feel like that was the biggest moment.
Did you see it?
No, I don't think I did.
Well, get out of my story. Sorry. Wow. Did you see it opening weekend?
I think so. What year was that? Was that 2003?
Yeah.
Damn.
Was it?
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I was 13 years old.
Return of the King, yeah. So
did they... Okay.
It was 01, 02, 03 for the three movies.
Weird. Okay.
My jeans. Cool. So no, I don't think I did.
On opening weekend.
Yeah.
All three.
I do remember in junior high, my girlfriend had a gift that I got for her was a Legolas cardboard cutout.
Ooh.
Because she was a big Orlando Bloom fan.
We all
are.
So say we all.
Yeah.
So say we all. But no, I did not go see it at midnight.
So that's my main answer. Also, my other two are both the Infinity War movies. Like Infinity Gauntlet or whatever. Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
So both of those were great to watch. Because, again, there was so much cheering for whenever... Thor showed up at the Battle of Wakanda at the end. Everybody was like super like charged up. I was like, oh fuck yeah, this is awesome. This is almost like being at a sports event.
Yeah,
like they were cheering that much.
Yeah,
I was like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah,
badass movie. Also, I wish they would kind of shut the fuck up because I missed like the next line that was said.
Mm-hmm.
And then Endgame. Oh, actually, and at the end of Infinity Gauntlet, where like. Thanos wins, and he's just chilling and sitting there. Like, everyone's like, oh, fuck. Like, the air got sucked out of the room. I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then in Endgame, whenever Captain America gets Thor's hammer, everybody's like, oh, fuck, yeah. And then when they do the whole on your left, and everybody shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
So awesome. So, Return of the King is my main answer, but the other Avengers films.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. Incidentally, I remember going to see, because I saw all three of them opening weekend, Lord of the Rings. I went with a few fraternity brothers to see Two Towers, and one of the guys I was with fell soundly asleep during Two Towers. I mean,
wow.
Like sawing logs, like CPAP Damn. Machine, like, loud
snoring. Helms deeply asleep?
Yeah, he was out cold. And so I thought that was amazing because it was a good movie and it was loud. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, how are you falling asleep while, you know, Gondor is under attack? Or Rohan or whatever. Anyway, so I was amazed. I don't know how people fall asleep during loud movies like that.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Although my wife can do that. She can fall asleep.
There are no quiet movies
anymore. Oh, get it.
I believe my wife fell asleep during Wonder Woman with Gal Gadot.
Wonder Woman.
Cannot blame her.
Yeah.
You know.
So
never saw him.
1984, I can understand because I almost fell asleep during that and fell over on the floor. Yeah.
But wasn't that, didn't they go direct to streaming?
Still almost fell asleep.
Yeah. Well,
it's bad.
Well, it's you're on your own comfy couch, I guess.
Yeah.
And it is comfy.
Taylor?
Jurassic Park. Ooh. Easy peasy. Ooh. Just because I remember my mom and my parents going to see the film because I would have been, I guess, probably too young at the time. And they came back, like, raving about it. They're like, how cool is this? Honestly, I don't even remember the first time I actually saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, like, we rented it on VHS later or whatever, but I would have loved to have seen that, just knowing that, like, oh, it's a dinosaur movie, and then go in there and then just, like, see what it actually is. Because even nowadays, like, I look at it, I'm like, damn, that's fucking impressive as shit. Yeah. You know? And but to be there when it first came out, cause I remember... I was like, oh, I want to go see it. And they're like, oh, you can't go see it. It's too bloody or gory. I'm like, you've let me watch RoboCop thousands of times.
He shoots a guy's dick off.
Yeah, he shoots his arm off at the beginning.
Buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, but I remember them saying, like, oh, no, there's a scene. And I was like, okay, my mom was clearly lying. I was like, they're like, oh, yeah, there's a scene where he eats a goat, and it's just too gory. I'm like, well, first of all, he didn't really eat. We don't see him eat the goat.
Yeah.
All we see is, just the leg later. And I was like, no, I wasn't gory.
And the girl's like, what happened to the goat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The implication.
I remember seeing that. I actually had to see that twice because I went to go see it opening weekend and the theater lost power. Like they couldn't get it. Like it was dead.
Yeah.
So we got vouchers to go back and see it. I went with my mom and we got vouchers to go see it again later. So we had to go back the next weekend and watch it. So I made it about halfway through.
Yeah.
I feel like Jurassic Park is one of those movies that you don't appreciate watching it now how great the graphics are.
Yeah.
At the time, like that was like groundbreaking.
It was huge. It was 93.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like that's back in the days of Windows 3. You know.
Yeah. Like it was like the age of like very practical effects, very like claymation. Like Jurassic Park was incredible.
Yeah, I remember being in the theater like when you first saw the Brachiosaurus, whatever. When they first see him, like the theater gasped. You could hear like people gasp.
Yeah. It was. It's still that CGI. It was a past its time. It was or ahead of its time because it still somewhat holds up today.
I'm like, it does. Yeah,
they show movie, that, and then you get to see other films, and you're like, oh, did you not have enough time? Did you not
have enough money? You really have to watch five other really movies from the same year to really appreciate how great Jurassic Park is.
They just sunk the time and money into that, and it honestly showed.
Because originally I was thinking like, oh man, I would love to go see like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
like you know. But honestly, it's like, I think to be more, because I love those first three films, but just to see Jurassic Park to be, you know, just have this like, I mean, just like Star Wars, just eyes wide open, like, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was, I was very confused about Jurassic Park. Did you say
with arms wide open?
With arms wide open. With arms wide
open. I was very confused by Jurassic Park because back in my early days, I was a big Cindy Crawford fan.
Yeah.
So I think she was on the cover of like People magazine, like 50 Most Beautiful People or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like I had that issue.
Hello.
But there was a
lot of sticky pages.
But not this one. This page had a picture of Tom Cruise, like either like selling something on one page or something like that. And then the next page it said Jurassic Park. And it had the big fence and everything. And it was like, ooh, mysterious. I thought it was like a new like a museum ad or something, or I was like, oh, this is a Tom Cruise film. So when I saw Jurassic Park, I was very confused that Tom Cruise was not in it. Awesome. For some reason, I was like, Tom Cruise, all right, cool. Jurassic Park, oh, I guess this is, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
So I kept watching it being like, when is he showing up?
Mm-hmm.
He voiced the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Alan.
Alan.
God. Oh, Jurassic Park 3. I remember seeing that, and you could hear, like, it's the other way around. When the Velociraptor talks, you could hear the entire theater, like, groan.
Yeah.
It's like, Alan. It's like, oh, my God. Because you think about it, it's like, again, that movie cost $150 million.
Oh, yeah.
It went into production. In the script, it had to have been written out. The dinosaur speaks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jaws 4. That was a good sound effect.
I just quivered.
Yeah.
It's like Jaws 4, where the shark roars, jumps out of the water, and like roars like a lion.
Ah. Jaws the Revenge with Michael Caine.
Yeah. And it's like
Michael Caine.
Somebody read through that script. They were literally script supervisors. Yeah. He was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Keep it going.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you're in charge of making the shark roar.
So. Okay, Jurassic Park 3 took place in SeaWorld, which didn't seem that great. Jurassic Park 2, not bad.
Not bad. Movie? That's okay.
Compared to the other ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
And actually, if we change the question around a little bit, I wouldn't mind going back to see Dazed and Confused. If I could go back to being like my middle school self or whatever, I would like to see Dazed and Confused. You know, and relive that movie in the theater. I never saw it in the theater, but it's like, you know, because it kind of it hits that, like, being a freshman or being an eighth grader or whatever. It's like, relive it as that age again, you know.
Yeah.
And feel it like, you know, because that movie kind of captures the awkwardness of being that age so well.
Well, if I had another film, like, I would pick Lake Placid. But for reasons I can't speculate or add to here on this podcast.
Still a great film.
Mm-hmm. But that would be an interesting way to change that question. Like, if you could go back to being the age you were when you first saw it. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming I'm going to be a, 40-year-old man sitting watching Star Wars, like schlub. But if I could go back and be a kid, be the age appropriate, I don't know what I would, something like that, where you could go back and watch, like, Dazed and Confused or Clueless popped in my head, too. I remember, like, thinking that was pretty funny.
Well, and I think... So Star Wars, it's been remastered quite a few times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think the first, like, batch of Star Wars films that I saw as a kid were the first George Lucas, like, remasterings of Star Wars. It was, like, the VHS trilogy that came out. It was, like, a black box with, like, a gold, like, little triangle that goes over it. I wish I could go back and watch the original three as they came out, so I could see
unmolested.
Them. Unmolested.
Yes.
Right? See them in their original,
grandeur
before they became what they are. Because I don't have a good point of basis. Like, I've seen shots of what it looked like originally, but...
Yeah. And it's like those versions that you're talking about, they re-released to theaters in 97, the three movies.
He just keeps fucking doing it.
And I saw all three of them in the theaters when they put them out. Like, it was the spring of 97. And it was so different than seeing what it would have been at the premiere in 77, because it was like everybody knew every single line of all three movies. Yeah. So you could hear people quoting everything.
Oh,
and so it was kind of a buzzkill.
Interesting to go back to see, like, the premiere night of, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show, which has become a huge cult classic.
Yeah, that would be a flop.
And then people,
I
just want to, it'd be interesting to see how it was received at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Todd, you reminded me of when I went and saw, it was all three Lord of the Rings, three nights in a row. Cinemark had like a three-night like theatrical release like 5 years later, 10 years later. I don't remember when it was. But I just remember when Legolas just goes, they're taking the hobbits to Isengard. The entire theater just erupted in laughter.
to Isengard.
Yeah. God, because that was like a classic 2007 meme.
Yeah.
But like, for me, with some of those films, like I wish I could go back and watch them for the first time and never watch them again.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, and I think it was you, but Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
I think I had already seen it in theaters once, and I think I don't know if I think you I took somebody else to go see it, and they were not feeling it. And I'd already seen it, so I was like, this is...
I think you and I saw it the first time.
Yeah, and I think I took somebody else to go see it. Might have been a lady of the night, but it was like, I remember just going there, and like, it just wasn't the same. And I was like, I don't think I don't know if I like this film. I mean, I do like it, but yeah. I was like, it just didn't hit. She wasn't feeling it. And I was like, I was like, is this film really that good? Or was I just like out of my mind when it first came out?
I remember exactly like the one part in that film where I was fucking gone. Yeah. And that's where like Napoleon's hanging out. And like somebody just casually walks by off camera and just like yeets him into the lockers. Yeah. And then it like walks off camera. And he's just like... makes the biggest, loudest sound. He's all like shoulders and elbows into that locker. I was fucking gone for like, no joke, close to 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, I don't know what happened for the next part because like, I was laughing too hard. Taylor was looking at me and laughing at me, laughing too hard. And then after a couple of minutes, he was like, damn, dude, still? I was gone. My giggle box was turned over.
Yeah.
That was like the Blazing Saddles. When I first saw the farting scene around the campfire, yeah. I was probably 10, 11 years old. I laughed uncontrollably, hysterically at those cowboys eating beans and farting. Mm-hmm. That was about sixth grade version of me. Thought that was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen. Uncontrollable laughter.
Yeah, I don't have many of those where I'm just like gone immediately. But Napoleon Dynamite, that one scene, yeah. I was not prepared.
Oh, it's like Naked Gun, where he takes the microphone in the bathroom stall and the urinal and pees for like 4 minutes. Again, a 10, 11-year-old version of me thought that was funny, like off the wall funny. Oh, my
God, the Austin Powers scene where he's like pretending to be fountain.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he takes a bite of asparagus off a tray, and then the security guard kind of like sniffs, and then he like puts it back down. Like, just... Oh, uncontrollable laughter.
This is awesome. It was another episode of Cinema Vino. I think we got some good answers.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good White Claws this time, too.
Yeah. We're drinking some more White Claws. I'm doing the lemonade with a hint of calamansi.
I am drinking.
I don't know what that is.
Lemonade blood orange with a hint of black raspberry.
Yeah.
I just had the tropical smash.
I didn't know there was a black raspberry.
And then Todd's wife got me a Mike's Hard Blue Freeze, which tastes like liquid Smarties. But I also have a sidecar of White Claw Lemonade Blackberry with a hint of red cherry.
Yeah, Trav's getting activated, long story short.
Or diabetes.
Yeah.
That Blue Freeze is...
I mean, I already had one. I'm double probably bubble, getting two now. Diabetes two. Wait, does it count down?
Or
does it count up?
Well, diabetes three is... It's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I had one. Now I got two.
Yeah. Type three, man. Hit them all. This is,
collect the whole set.
Yeah.
Like Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all, man. Mm-hmm.
It's like Super Mario. Like, next is a raccoon suit.
Yeah, next is the damn frog thing where you have to like hop.
The frog thing sucked.
Yeah, that was useless. It's like the fucking magic flute.
Yeah.
Dude, if you get to fly, like that was.
Yeah.
Sweeter than you.
But yeah, thanks again to my wife, Joanna, for supplying all this White Claw, White Claw Surf. We got the watermelon lime smash,
the refresher.
Yeah.
Which is missing an E.
I feel refreshed.
Two E's.
No, there's an E. There's the first E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Refresher.
Refresher.
There's the wild on E. I've got the wildberry acai smash over here. I've got the lemonade strawberry.
We got everything.
We got tons of stuff. There's lots of variety in the White Claws.
Yeah, there's a lot of gas in me.
It's either coming out tops or bottoms.
As most things do in life. So,
shit.
It's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It really has.
Another episode of Mailbag Monday.
And, Mailbag Monday.
Just another Mailbag Monday.
I'm so glad that's on record now. I can work with that. I can do a full instruments behind that. So,
that's my instrument.
It's a wah-wah.
So
just all wah pedal.
Yeah. Big fan of the wah.
Let's end this episode.
So, yeah, next week we're going to talk about the weirdest thing we've seen in the movie theater. So, amongst other things.
Yeah.
So, but we will see you guys next time. We've got Taylor Owens.
That's me.
Travis Budd. And Sean Jordan.
Hey.
So, my name's Todd Wofford. And we will see you guys next time.
I can't wait for Hand Job Tuesday.
Not with a bang, but with a whipper. Hand Job Tuesday is the best day of the week.
Put it down on the calendar.
Yeah. Trav, you sit next to me.
Mailbag Monday.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.
Just another Mailbag Monday.